Did you know that income annuities can actually improve the outcome of your portfolio? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today in episode 40 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Marty Becker, owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement income strategies. As always, today's episode is not to be taken as any advice to buy or sell securities, nor tax advice. It's for educational purposes only. Now, before we really get into this, I also want to let you know this is going to be a little bit of a longer podcast. So if you don't have the time to sit here and watch this on video, you can also listen to this in your car or while you're exercising just by searching for Atlas Annuity Podcast on any of the podcast platforms like Apple or Amazon or Spotify. Now, when I originally made this video several years ago, I labeled it "The Debate is Over," which is not very SEO friendly. The reason I called it that was George Bernard Shaw had a statement that goes a little something like this: if you laid all the economists in the world end to end, they still wouldn't reach a conclusion, except for annuities. All the economists who study retirement planning, they all agree that income annuities are a vital part of your retirement plan. So for instance, Michael Fink, PhD, the list of economists who support using annuities to provide retirement income includes some of the most prominent in the world, among whom are Nobel Prize recipients. There is no debate among economists about if an annuity should be used. The discussions are around what type of annuity and the timing of the purchase. So I'm actually going to take you through some of the highlights of this research paper. This was written about 10 years ago, but it is still very applicable today and probably one of the best research papers on annuities that I've ever come across. And again, if this gets to be too long in video form, you can always find us on a podcast player and listen to this in your car. So we're going to jump right into this here. Income annuities improve portfolio outcomes in retirement. Executive summary. Retirees face several critical retirement risks, including market performance, inflation, and longevity risk. Income annuities, also known as single premium immediate annuities, function as if they are a personal pension plan. That's huge. 30, 40 years ago, nobody really had to worry about this kind of stuff because everybody had defined benefit pensions. It goes on, across a wide variety of metrics, the portfolios containing a partial allocation to income annuities produce significantly better retirement outcomes for investors. FRC, Financial Research Corporation, defines success in two ways. Is the portfolio likely to deliver the desired income to the investor over the course of his lifetime? And how much money is likely to be left over at the investor's death? On both measures, the income annuity enhanced portfolio significantly outperformed the conventional portfolios. Our analysis shows that no other investment vehicle can rival the income annuity for retirement security. There is no other vehicle in the marketplace that can convert assets into income as efficiently as the income annuity. The simplicity of the product, combined with the high payout rates, liquidity features, and optional inflation rider, make the income annuity a product that will certainly gain popularity in the near future. And again, this was written a while ago. They're already gaining popularity. Retirees face significant investing challenges. With less capital to invest, volatile equity markets, and ever longer longevity, something has to give. Income annuities generate more income per dollar of capital invested than any other income-generating asset class, are non-correlated with equity and bond markets, which means it doesn't matter what's happening in the stock market or the economy, and perfectly hedge longevity risk, a powerful combination of features to address a significant set of challenges. We will then review one of these new tools, the income annuity. I don't know why they're calling it new. They've been around for 200 years in this country. Demonstrating that it offers unique properties that cannot be replicated using traditional asset classes, nor using other insurance products such as variable annuities with guaranteed minimum withdrawal benefit riders. So right out of the gate, they're knocking variable annuities even out of this equation. Like I've said before, I don't like variable annuities. I don't sell them. I don't recommend them. And 90% of the garbage you read about annuities out there that's negative, they're referring to variable annuities, just to let you know. Okay, key retirement risk. Retirees have accumulated a certain amount of savings over their working lives, and they must now manage this pool of assets to fund their retirement liabilities. You got to pile money, and now you got to figure out how to make it last. This problem is compounded by the fact that retirees don't know how long they will live. Totally out of our hands. In financial terms, retirees face an asset liability matching problem with an uncertain duration. In addition to traditional financial risk, retirees face new risks that require new approaches to portfolio construction. So what are some of these risks? First one, market performance. Of course, retirees face market risk just like accumulators, meaning people are still working and saving. However, retirees also face a new related risk, sequence of returns risk. I've talked about that a lot in former podcasts. The performance of the market in early years of retirement plays a huge role in how a portfolio will perform over the life of the investor, far more than market performance in later years. If they retire into a declining market, retirees will be forced to withdraw money from a smaller pool, adversely impacting the ability of the portfolio to recover when markets rise. This is one of the biggest risks. Second risk, inflation. To be properly prepared for retirement, investors must be prepared to fund liabilities that are increasingly expensive in nominal terms. Also, the traditional risk posed by inflation don't take into account escalating healthcare costs that are often rising faster than overall inflation rates. And then longevity. People are living longer today than at any point in recorded history. Unfortunately, this is key right here. Many investors don't treat longevity as a risk. Rather, they just build a plan that assumes a fixed planning horizon, which is often age 90. This practice is no different than building a plan that assumes markets will return 8% every year and inflation will be static at 3%. Although this sure makes planning easy, it doesn't reflect reality. Put simply, if you build a financial plan that assumes that a couple needs income to age 90, you're planning to fail 63% of the time. Of all the retirement risk, FRC believes that longevity risk is the greatest obstacle facing retirees today, for two reasons. First, if you live for a short time in retirement, market returns and inflation don't matter. You'll probably be successful no matter what. On the other hand, if you live for a long time, the other risk comes into sharp perspective. In a sense, longevity is a factor that can expand or contract the importance of other risk in retirement. The second issue is that longevity risk cannot be hedged by traditional asset classes and therefore requires fresh approaches to portfolio construction. So, what can advisors do? Remember, this report is written for guys like me. Financial advisors have two primary levers that they can operate to achieve successful outcomes for their clients in retirement: asset allocation and withdrawal rates. Asset allocation means how much goes into stocks, how much goes into bonds, fixed instruments, things like that. As we will show in section 3, allocating a certain amount to income annuities in addition to other asset classes produces more robust portfolios for retirees. The other one, which is withdrawal rates. I've talked a lot about withdrawal rates. The amount of income that an investor intends to produce in retirement is central to how likely they are to succeed. Conventional financial planning wisdom holds that recent retirees may safely consume 4%. So every $100,000 you have, $4,000. 4% of their initial retirement assets per year, growing with inflation. 4% is used as a rule of thumb because it has worked for most clients most of the time. Lower withdrawal rates, below 4% of initial capital, growing with inflation, tend to lead to successful outcomes, while higher withdrawal rates, above 4%, tend to increase the risk of failure. And I've talked a lot about that in previous podcasts. However, as discussed in Section 3, introducing income annuities into retirees' asset allocations can change this picture considerably. The unique properties of income annuities, which are high payout rates, non-correlation, and longevity hedging, can make 4% withdrawal rates even safer for investors and allow for even higher withdrawal rates as well. That's what I talk a lot about in my 20% More Spendable Income series. Okay, section two, income annuities, also known as single premium immediate annuities, or SPIAs, function as if they are a personal pension plan. Now, just to let you know, fixed indexed annuities with income riders do the exact same thing, and they just have the ability to extend the death benefit out a little bit longer. More importantly, though, income annuities generate significantly higher cash flows than traditional income-generating asset classes. You get more income for every dollar that you allocate to it. Traditional methods of generating income from a portfolio demonstrate significant correlation to market events, meaning what happens in the market is greatly going to impact how much money you can spend. Bond ladders face significant reinvestment risk, meaning when that bond is called or when the term is up, you don't know what the new interest rate is going to be, particularly given the need to generate laddered income for decades throughout retirement. Dividends on dividend-paying stocks may be increased or decreased as markets change. Systematic withdrawal programs that use bond coupons, dividends, and asset sales to produce targeted retirement income are also vulnerable to market corrections. All of this stuff is completely out of our hands. Income annuities, however, provide high cash flow that does not change, regardless of market events. Many investors do not understand how income annuities produce such high cash flows. I actually made a video about this as well. I think it was called How Do Annuity Companies Guarantee Lifetime Income? Essentially, income annuities provide investors with a form of alpha that traditional investments cannot mimic. Alpha is any return above market standards. This alpha comes in the form of mortality credits, which is what separates income annuities from other investment options within the fixed income market. Income annuity cash flows derive from three sources: interest, a return of principal, and mortality credits. These mortality credits are derived from the mortality pool built into income annuities, which again, only life insurance companies can offer. Essentially, the insurance company sells annuities to thousands of investors, some of who will die early and some of who will die late. By applying principal from those who die early to those who die late, the insurance company is able to guarantee a higher lifelong payout to everyone. It's important to note that the payout provided by the insurance company is guaranteed regardless of the performance of the mortality pool. Insurance companies can guarantee the payout without assuming significant risk because of the law of large numbers. With thousands of investors in the pool, it's fairly easy to predict how many investors will die each year. So that creates longevity hedging. One of the most important aspects of income annuities is that they provide a perfect, that's a pretty intentional word, in a perfect hedge to longevity risk. Longevity risk is one of the least understood components of retirement investing, yet FRC believes that is, it is the most important risk that retirees face. As previously noted, there is a 63% chance that one member of a married couple will live past 90. Despite this, many investment advisors build a financial plan to age 90. Effectively, advisors are planning for nearly two-thirds of their clients to fail. I say a lot. A lot of times this is not, it's not the client's fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just given a bad plan. Historically, a lack of liquidity has been the biggest hurdle for many investors to overcome when considering income annuities. I've made a lot of videos on this too, about discretionary liquid assets. However, this is not the case any longer, as the market has been maturing and innovation has taken hold. There are several liquidity features standard to most income annuities that address many of these concerns. Not only do these products provide lifetime income, but investors can access money from these contracts if necessary through built-in options and riders, some of which may come at an added cost. Now, when I do a strategy, the annuity is there for a purpose. We leave plenty of money outside for liquidity because we want the annuity to do what it was designed to do, so we should never have to disturb it. Also, a feature called cash refund guarantees that the investor or his heirs will receive the full amount of the investment back one way or another. If the investor dies prior to receiving his full investment back via income payments, the beneficiary will be paid the difference between purchase price and income received. This feature guarantees that an investor will not lose any of the investment due to premature death. That was always one of the biggest concerns people had. but those are the old school ones that almost no one uses anymore. If the investor finds that he needs more money than what is available through the income payments, income annuities typically offer a feature called commutation, which provides an avenue for the investor to access capital if necessary. Again, with the Atlas annuity strategy, that's not going to be an issue. Okay, section 3, income annuities in portfolios. FRC examined a popular strategy combining an income annuity with a portfolio of mutual funds. I'm not a fan of mutual funds either. I like index funds, but to determine how it compares to a traditional retirement portfolio containing only mutual funds. We found that across a wide variety of metrics, the portfolios containing a partial allocation to income annuities produce significantly better retirement outcomes for investors. So kind of the standard that they used here was just a 65-year-old male who had $500,000 in his portfolio. That's what everything else is based off of in this next section. FRC ran its analysis under both a static, quote, perfect world model, assuming steady year-over-year returns, and a dynamic Monte Carlo model, which imposes 1,000 market scenarios on the portfolio. Although our conclusions about the outperformance of the income annuity enhanced portfolios were similar across both models, we consider the perfect world scenarios unrealistic given the year-to-year volatility of the markets. It's reasonable. As such, our presentation and conclusions below are based almost entirely on the Monte Carlo simulations to more than accurately reflect the variability in market returns over the past two decades. These results better equip advisors to plan for portfolios that are robust across market, longevity, and inflation outcomes. So, what does success mean in this research paper? What did they define it as? Success is defined, the optimal objective is a 100% success rate, where success is defined as not running out of money during the investor's lifetime. That sounds pretty good. A second metric is the level of terminal net worth. In other words, on average, how much money is left in the investor's account when they die to pass on to their family? Those are literally the two things that people ask me about all the time that they're concerned about. So they looked at a couple different portfolios. They looked at a conservative portfolio where about 30% was in stocks and about 70% was in fixed instruments like bonds. The results of this portfolio were somewhat disappointing for any withdrawal rate above 4%. The success rate on the conservative portfolio was 94% at a 4% withdrawal rate, meaning 6% of people ran out of money. Moreover, median net worth at 92 years of age was approximately $290,000. So out of the $500,000, he had $290,000 left. The results, however, deteriorated significantly as withdrawal rates increased. For example, at a 4.5% rate of withdrawal, now mind you, if we're looking at $4,000 for every $100,000 you have saved, all they did was take out an additional $500 for every $100,000 you have saved. What happened with a terminal date of 92 years of age, the portfolio failed to deliver enough cash flow for 36% of the trials. That's a big gap for an extra $500 a year. Terminal net assets for the 64% of trials that did not provide enough income through age 92 only had a net worth of just $59,000 at death. Listen to this. If life expectancy increased to 96 years of age, the success rate declines from 64 to under 25%. And then if you take it up to a 5% withdrawal rate, the success rate up to 92 years of age was slightly less than 25% and a mere 6% through the life expectancy of 96. That's terrible. Consequently, we conclude that 4.5% and 5% withdrawal rates of the conservative portfolio was essentially a failure for our retirees, regardless of his life expectancy. What is this saying? That 4% withdrawal rule is still very much alive and well. Here's the next type of portfolio that they looked at, because you may be saying, Marty, no one's going to have only 30% stocks. The average portfolio is going to have like 60% stocks in retirement. That's fine. So they did a pretty much a straight 50-50 between equities and fixed interest instruments. Not surprisingly, the Monte Carlo results were better under the moderate portfolio, but they hardly were encouraging. For example, based on the assumed life expectancy of 92%, the success rate improved slightly to 97% at a 4% withdrawal rate versus 94% under the more conservative portfolio. For the 4.5% withdrawal rate, that success rate was notably better at just under 75%, with an average net worth at 92% of $165,000. However, simulations run under a 5% withdrawal rate resulted in an inadequate 38% rate of success with no terminal worth at death, so nothing to pass on to your beneficiaries. A clear conclusion of this study is that only the 4% withdrawal rate is sustainable using traditional portfolios, whether conservative or moderate. So now they talk about their models that they ran with the income annuity being placed in there. As mentioned before, income annuities are unique asset classes with three key benefits. They generate more income per dollar of capital invested than any other income-producing asset class. They're not correlated with equity or bond markets. And they offer a perfect longevity hedge. Far fewer investors holding these portfolios run out of money before they die, particularly at higher withdrawal rates, meaning they got to spend more of their money and do it without any risk, or at least a lot less risk. Just as importantly, when investors holding the income annuity enhanced portfolios run out of the assets, they don't run out of income, as the income annuity keeps paying through the investor's lifetime, thereby providing a longevity hedge. I've said it 1,000 times, even if you run out of money, you'll never run out of income when you have the annuity. Interestingly, FRC also found that the income annuity enhanced portfolios, on average, have far more assets remaining at the end of the investor's death, creating a larger legacy for their heirs. Since the income annuity is protected subject to the claims paying ability to the issuing insurer and has no volatility, it acts as the fixed income component, allowing the investor to take more risk with other investments. So basically, we're taking bonds that would be in someone's portfolios and we're purchasing guaranteed lifetime income that will give you a much higher income than you could ever get with just laddering bonds or dealing with reinvestment risk as time goes on. So what they did with this model was they took the same 65-year-old guy who had $500,000 and they took $200,000 of it and put it into an income annuity. The rest, the majority of it went into equities with some fixed products. At a 4% withdrawal rate, the portfolio success rate was 100%, marginally better than the conventional portfolios on an income basis. And with a terminal portfolio that is astoundingly almost equal to the initial size of the portfolio at $490,000. Let me say that again. The guy who had 500 grand took 200 of it, basically replaced the bonds in his portfolio, bought an income annuity, and at the age of 92, had almost $500,000 left. He almost had the same amount that when he started with and was able to spend more money out of his portfolio through that entire retirement. At a 4.5% withdrawal rate, the income annuity portfolio outcome was far superior, with almost 94% of the trials succeeding, as compared to 64% and 75% with the conservative and moderate conventional portfolios. Equally important, the median terminal net worth, so what he had at death, was $319,000 as opposed to $59,000 for the conservative portfolio and $165,000 for the moderate portfolio. The $200,000 income annuity enhanced portfolio was also evaluated for a life expectancy of 96. While those Monte Carlo simulations were logically less successful than the shorter life expectancies, they were dramatically better than the results achieved under both conventional portfolios that we looked at. So for example, if you took it up to 4.5% withdrawal rate, for someone who lived to 96, the success rate and the median terminal net worth for the portfolio that has an income annuity was nearly 87% and $267,000, respectively. The success rate for the comparable moderate conventional portfolio was only 51% with no terminal death benefit. This comparison alone clearly demonstrates an income annuity's ability to address longevity risk and enhance portfolio performance. Here's the interesting thing. They did a second model putting slightly less into the income annuity. So instead of $200,000, they only put $150,000. Overall, the results were slightly below the previous portfolio that allocated $200,000 to the income annuity, but still far better than the traditional mutual fund portfolio. It also appears to some extent higher allocations to income annuities lead to better outcomes for investors. And I've talked about that a lot in previous podcasts. A lot of times, more money into the annuity creates a better long-term scenario. Income annuity performance observations. So for this analysis, they define success in two ways. Is the portfolio likely to deliver the desired income to the investor over the course of their lifetime? And how much money is likely to be left at the investor's death? On both measures, the income annuity enhanced portfolios significantly outperform the conventional portfolios. I love this stuff personally. I don't know if you guys are falling asleep out there, but this is fascinating. And I appreciate you hanging in there. We're almost done. Finally, the income annuity enhanced portfolios resulted in significantly greater median net worth at death. By including an income annuity, the investor was able to take some pressure off the mutual fund portfolio, allowing it to shrink more slowly than if no income annuity option was offered. The significance of this finding cannot be understated. And again, this is just a third-party research company. Okay, conclusion. And advisors, I know there's other advisors who listen to this podcast, and I greatly appreciate you, and hopefully you do find this information helpful. I get material from other advisors as well, and I always appreciate content that you guys put out too. But this section is directed towards us. Asset managers have done a spectacular job at building accumulation products, but there is a point when that money must be returned to the investor in the form of income. This is what I talk about between accumulation and decumulation. It's a totally different skill set. Unfortunately, only insurance companies have access to mortality credits, which is what guarantees the income. A form of alpha that allows income annuities to offer a unique combination of benefits, high cash flows, non-correlation to markets, and a perfect longevity hedge. The data definitely shows that income annuity enhanced portfolios outperform conventional portfolios. While the data supports the strategy, FRC fears that asset managers will not embrace this method of retirement income distribution since it diverts assets away from their offerings into insurance carrier offerings. What are they saying here? They're saying that their biggest concern is that advisors will not recommend these products because it's going to get into their pocket of their management fees that they charge. However, while this fear is understandable, it is also unwarranted, as our results also suggest that advisors, distributors, and equity asset managers may be better off if consumers own income annuities, because income annuities take the pressure off the portfolio withdrawals, leading to higher mutual fund balance accounts over time. So what does that mean? When the income is already guaranteed from another source, they're not dipping into the other portfolio as much to take money out. And they're less likely to panic sell because all of their needs are already spoken for. They're already taken care of. So the portfolio is going to get bigger, which for traditional advisors who charge management fees, what does that mean? That means more revenue for you. So do the right thing. Give them the peace of mind and give them a guaranteed income while you're also helping yourself. Okay. Do you think Fidelity doesn't understand this? Do you think they're just pushing annuities out of nowhere for no reason? No, they get this. They get that when someone has a guaranteed income, they're able to take more risk, which means the portfolio over the long term is going to grow at a higher rate and create more assets under management, more AUM. Okay, everyone, I know that was a lot, and it was a lot for me to go through too, but it's important that consumers understand the same things that advisors understand. So I'm going to do a quick summary here of what we just went through. One, retirees face significant challenges that only income annuities can solve: longevity, market risk, and inflation. Two, income annuities create more spendable income per dollar than managed portfolios. 3, income annuities are impervious to market and or economic conditions. 4, variable annuities are not the solution. 5, the 4% rule is still very much alive and well, and withdrawal rates above that significantly increase your chances of running out of money. 6, allocating more money to an income annuity can improve the overall outcome of your portfolio in the long term. And then 7, advisors. Securing a guaranteed income for your client not only gives them peace of mind, and it's the right thing to do, but that helps them create a bigger portfolio for you to manage. So everyone, I hope you found that helpful. Again, thank you for hanging in there. It was a big podcast this week, but also very important for you to understand. If you like this information, please hit the subscribe button, like it, and please share it if you know someone who could benefit from this information. Now, if you have questions on how an income annuity can enhance your portfolio, all you have to do is go to atlasannuity.com to book a short phone call and get your questions answered. Again, this is Marty Becker coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri with episode 40 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast, wishing you all the best in your financial education, and we'll see you in the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. All information presented is for educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to implement any tax strategy, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or transfer any security or insurance products. Atlas Financial Strategies Incorporated is an insurance-only licensed entity, and any decisions to buy or sell securities should be discussed with a licensed securities advisor, and any tax strategy should be discussed with a licensed tax professional. Past performance of any strategies or products mentioned are not a guarantee of future returns. For any other questions or concerns, please go to www.atlasannuity.com.